No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Flight training professionals rounding out the crew today on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Very special day because it could be the day that I get my airplane. At least that's what I asked for this year because today is my birthday. And I figured Ed and Keith were coming in. We have a full crew. They're in the studio, in the flesh, to present me with my brand new Kodiak Quest airplane or Quest Kodiak on floats.
Oh, well, we did get you an airplane today, Greg.
You got me an airplane.
And it does float.
And it does float. It's made out of foam rubber. It has four engines, though.
No, wait a minute. Hold on. I gave you guys those before we started the show today.
Regifting.
Well, I regift those from Abington because she gave those to me.
And we regift it to you.
Yes. Well, that's not the plane I was hoping. That's not the plane I asked for. It was a Quest Kodiak on floats, the one that we saw there at Sun and Fun. I thought for sure after we walked the show grounds there in Lakeland, Florida, that you guys had a very clear picture of the plane that I expected you to give me on my birthday. It was the least you could do. And now I'm finding out the best I get is a little stress reliever. That's it.
We figured we'd get you that airplane after you get your certificate.
So we're pretty safe there.
No, yeah. Wait a minute. So you're saying if I get my certificate, you're going to get me one?
I didn't say that. I said we thought we would get that.
Okay. Well,
words have meaning.
The ball busting continues here at Just Plain Radio. What are you going to do? But it is my birthday, and I'm in a festive mood.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
29 and holding?
That would mean so much more if you actually gave me an airplane. But I'll take the 29. That'll have to do for now. But, yeah, we got a lot to discuss.
You can get away with that. It's radio. People might believe
you ready?
That.
You're going to sing happy birthday to them.
What?
One, two, three.
No, I'm not.
Come on.
He's wearing the dress. He has the flowing white dress.
You should.
The wind blowing his skirt up. You'd think he'd be able to sing on top of everything else, but no, that's not going to.
That's even
a disturbing thought for me to paint in my mind right now. So
yeah, but you came up with it,
which is really disturbing me.
I think that's the first sign of Alzheimer's, isn't it?
What?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll get focused here eventually. And by the way, as much fun as we have on the show here, it never gets old to get recognized. And this week, we got, we got mentioned as one of the top 10 podcasts in the world for aviation. Thanks to the folks at Global Pilot Life, I believe. Is that what it was? Yeah, Global Pilot Life. And I guess we're rated number 3, the first U.S. podcast. We came in at number 3. They're listed, all 10 of them, in no particular order. But we came in at number 3, and we'll take it for what it's worth. And we thank them for giving us a little shout-out on their website, and figured we could do the same. All right, so we got that out of the way. We got all the accolades. Feel free to send your gifts for my birthday to Greg at JustPlaneRadio.com or Greg, your co-pilot. Either one will work. And if you do have a spare Quest Kodiak laying around, that's what I'd prefer. I'll take a Grand Caravan. If you have one of those as well, newer model on floats, yeah, why not? I'll take those as well.
It's got to be on float, so.
Well, I'd prefer it. I mean, I've thought through this time. I've seen these planes so many times at the air shows now. I think I got a pretty good picture of what I want as far as flying around the Caribbean and jumping off of the plane and diving right there from the airplane. And I think there's enough deck space to do it from those type of planes.
I think he's right there.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, those pontoons are pretty massive.
You got to keep it, low altitude because we can't fly after diving. But if you're just cruising, above the water below 1,000 feet.
500 feet.
Yeah.
500 feet.
500 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, you're good to go. You could do that without doing real like extreme diving and that kind of thing. Sure. And we could bounce around and
just pop it up and hang there at 500 feet.
That'd get to
fun.
The next dive site, or scope around and look for some mantas or whale sharks or
open the door and just
Great Whites.
There you go, Greg.
Just like they do in the on the military.
Yeah,
we don't have to be slow down. You just get out.
Yeah. Well, it's called a giant stride entry that we'd go right out of the airplane. Yeah, the other thing is if any of them have
from 500 feet.
It would be a really giant stride. It would be one of the tallest. You could do it. The Navy SEALs do this stuff. You know, they do it with parachutes. I know that. I actually have talked to some of those guys. They've invited me to go do that experience with them. I have not taken them up on it.
And why not?
Well, I figured, why bother?
Are you chicken?
No, I'm not chicken at all. I was like, you know what? I don't
so
really
So you didn't
want to
go hang with Navy SEALs and jump out of an airplane and into the water?
No, wait. They didn't say I could hang with them. They said I could do this, and they would tell me how to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. So I was like, well, I've seen the pictures. I've watched the movies.
Too bad Steve's not here anymore, because we'd get Steve involved in that.
Yeah, we'd get him on that.
Yeah, why? Yeah. He's a Navy SEAL?
He was.
And yes. He would know that that this is doable, or I could do that. I can do this. It's just jumping out of an airplane. That's all you might have to work a little bit of the skydiving thing in. There's been some divers that have done that in the past, where they jumped out of an airplane, skydived into the ocean or lake, and then they, they shed the chute and they go dive right into it. Now, that's a little crazy. I don't see the point.
Now, let's talk about the physiology of that.
What do you mean?
Well, we're taking our body from, let's say, 14,000 feet.
Well, okay, yeah.
Which 18,000 feet's half an atmosphere. And then right. We're going to take her down to what, 30 feet's one atmosphere? Or
yeah, 33 feet is one atmosphere underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then, so take it down to 66 feet, it's two atmospheres.
Right.
So is there a physiological problem with doing that? I know they don't want us to go the other direction.
I don't, not going
for you,
that
way. Yes, but for a Navy SEAL, no.
Well, okay. True. That's probably
I'm thinking going this way is not the problem. It's coming up.
Yeah, it's coming up is the problem. But, and also if you were jumping out of an airplane and you were on a parachute, you'd probably be, descending slow enough where it wouldn't be that big of a problem anyway.
Yeah.
If you're free diving and just jumping out of the airplane and woo, swan dive, like maybe.
Captain America did in his second movie.
Yeah, but even then, it's just going to compress everything. So I don't know that it would make that big a difference. Because one atmosphere, what is it? It's 1,000 feet, right? In the air on a plane, right?
Mm-mm.
What is it again? No. What
I think it's 18,000.
Oh, 18,000. That's one atmosphere? So 18,000 feet.
18,000 is where it is one half of an atmosphere.
Well, then it can't. It's not a big deal at all.
Pressure goes down as you go up.
Right. I understand that. So we only... we lose half an atmosphere by going to 18,000 feet, is what you're saying?
Yes.
So that's like, half of 33 feet, which would be what? See, neither one of them can do the math. That's why, it's people like me. It'd be 16 and a half, would be 33. But actually, I think it's kind of a graduating scale. I don't think that's exactly right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to, it's kind of good. I flipped the roles here because I all of a sudden put on my dive instructor hat, and now I can teach Ed and Keith for a change. This is it's kind of a
You've been telling me that
moment.
For the last couple of years that you're going to teach me, and this is the first lesson we've had.
Yeah.
Well, you've never asked before, and this is the first time.
He has. I've been there. He said he's all ready for it. He just said you had to teach him how to swim first.
And give me an airplane. What part of this did we not understand? It's my birthday.
There's another airplane.
Now we got two little squishy stretch things. Oh, brother. All right. Well, anyway, we can do it. That's what I want to do. That's the kind of plane I still think I want to do. Whether it's a Quest Kodiak, which I think that is the coolest one. And I like the Grand Caravan, too. But the difference, just the Quest Kodiak looks a little bit more rustic. But the main thing, or off-road, more manly, maybe. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a Range Rover
version.
With
his frou-frou coffee?
Well, yeah. That has nothing to do with the ruggedness of the, the plane,
No, but it has something to do with the ruggedness of the pilot.
But it takes less runway to take off and land. That was really the main thing of the Quest Kodiak. I don't know how they do it. I still don't understand the science of it.
Well, then you just need to get the tilt rotor thing that we saw at... At the Heli Expo.
But, well, okay, we could do the tilt rotor. Now, yeah, that would be, but that's an experimental aircraft. That hadn't been even
by the time you
approved.
Get your rating, it'll have 10 years in service.
Oh, that's the support I'm looking for my flight instructors. No, we'll make it out. You know, I still think it's doable. You know, and let me put it this way. It would definitely be doable if Ed and Keith would give me a friggin' airplane. That's all we need. That is, you guys are the key to making this this whole plan work.
It's all about Greg until something needs to be done.
Well, it's my birthday. Come on. Don't I get one day, one show where I get to have everything I want? Only
that was all the shows.
Okay, well, you got me
there. Except for the Crash News Network.
More coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com, the website to go to and learn how to fly with them. You probably have better luck learning than I have. They've just got sick of me, even though it's my birthday. You'd think maybe. Just maybe.
Aww.
Okay, I'll stop. All right, let's talk about some news, some aviation news, as Ed pulls out his little miniature violin. Mm-hmm. You seen that? You hear that? Yeah. It was really high, but you know, even in my advanced age, I could still hear that squeak. Anyway, so Cessna has some news that came out in press release form. You knew about this for a while, though, right,
Ed?
Yeah,
I've known about this for about a month, right. 2 or 3 weeks, maybe.
So, they're diesel-powered 182. 182 Jet T something.
JTA.
We've talked about this many times in the past, thinking maybe this was going to be the new thing, at least especially initially when it was launched, because like diesel fuel, very popular overseas.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's more popular, but very common over in Europe, right?
Yes. Well, and it's really not diesel fuel that they'd be using in it. They'd be using Jet A.
Jet A, okay.
You know, so, and if you go to a country like Europe, or even you go into some of Africa and other parts of the world, China, right. Avgas is not readily available. And when it is available, it is about five to six times as expensive as it is here in the States. So it's you know, well into the $20 a gallon range. And whereas the jet fuel is about the same price as it is here. Because they make large quantities of it, and of course, with economies of scale, the price is much more reasonable. So, an airplane, a small airplane using jet fuel in a diesel engine, it can find fuel anywhere in the world and at a significant lower cost.
Right.
And so that's where it makes sense in these foreign countries to use the diesel-powered engines. And it's been very heavily used in Europe. Diamond Aircraft has been developing them, using them in Europe for a number of years, probably upwards of 10 or 12 years.
So the problem has been, well, what exactly with the U.S.? Regulations, making it too difficult to get the certification?
No, there are diesel-powered airplanes flying in the United States, and they are type certificated to do it. And the problem came is the engine technology that Cessna was using in the 182 was problematic. They went with a different manufacturer than the most common one, which is now owned and operated by Continental Engines. They went with the SMA engine, which is out of France, and there were some integrity issues with it. So the cost was going to be too high, and it was having a problem getting it through FAA certification. So there are already diesel powered airplane engines certified to go in U.S. airplanes. And in fact, the Red Hawk you guys flew last year at Sunfun, it had one of the Continental 135 horsepower diesel engines in it.
Hmm. Okay, and that flew great. It was easy to fly. It was idiot proof or Greg proof, which is interchangeable. But because it had its own built-in FADEC and all this kind of stuff,
right?
Yeah,
and so the Cessna went with a different engine, so that was different and was problematic.
Yeah,
and so they as opposed to just ditching the engine and going with a different engine, it wasn't that simple, I guess.
Well, the problem is right now Continental does not have a engine that will put out enough horsepower to go with the 182. Cessna's actually introduced and it will be selling this year their 172 JTA, which will have one of the Continental engines in it. It'll be 155 horsepower, so it'll be a little more horsepower than when you guys flew from Red Hawk.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense, because I remember I was at Air Venture talking to the Cessna guy about that, and that's exactly what he said. He said the 182 is in trouble, and we're having some problems getting it certified, but the 172, he said at the time, the 172 is probably going to beat the 182 as far as getting certified.
Because basically it's already an existing engine that has gone through all the certification process, and the installation on the 172 is also already been approved. It's just, okay, we're going to now offer this as an option in 172s.
Okay. All right, so now we understand why they have halted production on this 182 with the diesel
JTA.
Yeah, the diesel version, and now they're taking the inventory and switching it back to what?
They're switching it back to the normally aspirated piston engine that had been in it before, the IO540 derated to 2,400 RPMs and 235 horsepower. So basically, it's going to be exactly the same as 510 Sierra Lima, the 182 we have on our rental line.
Okay, but it won't run on gasoline. It'll run on Jet A.
No, it's going to run on 100 low lead.
100
same
low lead.
Same Avgas that we've always been flying.
Right.
Basically, there were a lot of people that were skeptical when Cessna made the decision to cut off all piston production in favor of the diesel-powered engine. That most people said, well, cut out the turbo 182, but keep the normally aspirated, the non-turbo 182, because there's still a market for it. And no, they decided to just shut the whole thing down and make the switch.
Right.
And now they're they're eating a little crow and going back and saying, they're trying to make it sound really good that we've decided to. Well, you know, they've been forced to.
Mm-hmm.
They're making, you know, lemonade out of lemons.
I gotcha. Well, when do we get to the point where we can actually just pump regular gasoline into them?
Well,
that ain't gonna happen.
There's some issues with the composition of the fuel that we have. It has most of them have some level of ethanol in them, and the engines would not be able to handle the ethanol. The lead in them boosts the octane rating one. We need a really high hot burning fuel to produce the power that we need.
Yeah.
The other part is the lead, in addition to boosting the octane rating, it also helps lubricate, whereas the alcohol or the ethanol in the normal auto gas would not. In fact, it would dry the engine out, and it would cause gaskets to dry out and leaks to occur.
Got it.
I mean, that causes problems just in normal,
yeah,
you know, everyday car engines.
Well, and boats. We have a big problem with the boat engines with ethanol and that kind of thing too. So
ethanol is a big problem.
Yeah, but that's where we're waiting for the fuel companies to come up with the new formulations, right? That they're working on to replace avgas.
Yeah.
So, but we're still probably a year or two away from maybe seeing those first.
Probably five or six.
Is it going to be that long?
Yeah. You know, and what's happening with the drop in oil prices, the avgas has dropped in price, and the price point of these new fuels is higher. And the reason it hadn't been worked on earlier is the price to produce them was higher than the current price of avgas. And now with avgas dropping again, we're back in the same situation.
Hmm. So we just can't win, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Maybe a solar-powered plane.
Well, we can talk about that next.
We will, on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio, one of the top 10 aviation podcasts in the world. Actually, we're even more than a podcast. We're actually on the radio. We're like
a real radio show
across the country, U.S. But we have recently just been named one of the top 10 podcasts, aviation podcasts, thanks to our friends at Global Pilot Life. So we'll take it.
Yep.
And do we get a ribbon, by the way, or ham or something? I don't know.
Here, Eric, take another airplane.
I get another stress-relieving, squishy airplane from Captain Keith.
I'm glad that she gave these to you, because we can just throw these at you all day long.
Well, there's five of them, so there's only so much damage you can do, and they're made of foam. So, but then you could reach over and grab them and restock like you're doing right now. Well, just know that I got two on my side here now, too, so I could wing one back. So you better watch it, buddy boy.
All right.
All right, and these things fly on purely perpetual...
He's shaking. Captain Keith is shaking in his boots.
Yeah, the power, it comes from your throwing arm. But, electricity or solar. Maybe that'll be the solution to this whole avgas diesel engine problem. Because they got that plane that just took off, and it's going from China to Hawaii or something.
Yep.
And has a lot of lights on it. Did you see that when it's flying at night? Did you guys see the video?
No, I hadn't seen the video.
It's like has a whole line of lights. I'm like, hey, you know what? If you turned off like three or four of those lights, that thing probably would make it all the way around the world. Seems like it's too many lights.
Well, I don't know about that.
They're LEDs. They don't take much power.
Well, exactly. Go. Yeah, it's all lit up. But it looks kind of spacey.
Yeah.
But this guy's going to fly like 107 hours. So it's a very slow-flying plane, evidently.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't think it was a speed demon.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a training plane that's coming out in the market, and it's going to be an electric-driven airplane.
Really?
and it's going to be battery powered, and the battery technology is evidently evolving very quickly. And depending on, you know, first thing I ask is, well, what about the weight and balance? And evidently you can remove batteries for dual flights and you won't be able to fly as long, and then the longer flights you put more batteries in.
That could be a solution. We'll have to see where time takes us. Well, and it's taking us to a quick break here first, and then we'll be back with more of Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, whether it's electric airplanes or solar-powered new designs, maybe it'd be a drone. Maybe it's going to be that's going to be the new wave of the future. I actually saw a new Kickstarter program of a new drone. That I don't know. They're acting like this thing is going to be the next iPhone or the next GoPro camera, because this is a new. It's called the Lily, and I've seen this thing. It kind of looks like a flying bug, but kind of like a quadcopter, but smaller, and it's like a little ball in the middle, all self-contained video camera. Mm-hmm. But this thing, you wear a strap, a little wrist rubber wrist thing. And you launch your drone, and it follows you around and films you, whatever you're doing. So it'll track you. It's like your own personal robot stalker.
Sounds kinky to me.
Yeah, do I really want a robot following me around?
Well,
I think Greg does.
It's like the ultimate selfie. I mean, you don't have to have a stick or anything.
Now we know why Greg likes it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, what the news on the street is this going to be a big deal? And it's called the Lily. Google it and you'll know what I'm talking about. But, you wonder, is this going to be the future of general aviation as opposed to fixed-wing airplane? Could we go to a quadcopter-type thing? I don't know. But there was another article released this week saying that we're taking our cues from the wrong folks. You know, we're wrong animals, all right? Because you want to fly like a bird, right, Ed? That's what we think of, the wings of a bird and fly. But what's the most efficient flying critter in the sky, at least according to this latest report from John Hopkins. Is it Hopkins University? One of those. Yeah, one of those research folks.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Squirrel's close.
Rocky.
It is. It's not a flying rat like Rocky. It is the bat. Like Batman.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, I'm Batman. And supposedly the aerodynamics of a bat's wing is one of the most efficient flying things out there, they're saying.
And they fly by radar.
Mm-hmm. They fly by radar, true.
Because they're blind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but as far as lift and speed and aerodynamics and all that kind of stuff, the bat wing supposedly is a very efficient airfoil. And they're saying that could be the future, that maybe we have been looking at birds all this time, thinking that would be the best way to fly. But maybe a bat looking type aircraft could be on our future. What do you think? Do you like the idea? You guys are both looking at me like, Greg, you're on crack again. No, I swear, it's my birthday. I just been drinking a little. Okay, two or three, but
no, I mean, flying,
I don't care what it looks like. I'll fly.
Yeah, I mean, how can they turn the mechanics of a bat's wing into an airfoil?
Well, they evidently they've done it. They got robot robot bats wings, where the robots have simulated a bat's wing. Hmm. So that's evidently already been made You know, they did, some kid did it on Kickstarter, and now it's already been made, I guess. Who knows? But it's out there, guys. So, you know, this type of new technology, that, I mean, you see what's happening with the drones, and I know you're big fans of those. As far as, well, or maybe you're fans of them, but
you know,
not,
that Amazon's a big fan of them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Amazon and Google have big plans for the drones and using those in delivery. Now, they're going to create havoc for us, possibly in general aviation, but who knows?
Well,
but
and
flying bats is all, that's just cool. Come on. If the drones look like bats, I'm on board. I don't know about you. No?
But that's the idea. You're not supposed to be on board.
No, I've never had a bat fly at me. And what did you say, Ed?
The idea of a drone is no pilot, so you're not on board.
Well, someone has to fly the bat. I mean, you get on top of the bat, or you have to fly it from remote control.
But that's not
the
same.
Yeah, you get this thing on your wrist, right?
Well, that's the Lily. That's the flying selfie stick or something.
He's bad.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, come on, think about it.
What?
The sitting on your computer and flying the flight simulator is not the same as being in the real thing, is it?
No,
that's
not
what
at all.
That's what the drone is. You're flying it from your computer screen. It's not real.
Well, that is the case right now, but when they make a drone big enough that you just hop on top of it and start flying it around.
They make those. They're called airplanes.
Well, not with the... Well, I guess they do, yeah. But not like the quadcopter and
they do. They have quadcopter helicopters.
Yeah, I've seen them. And those are... They, you know, that could happen too, but I mean, they're not quite as cool looking as a flying bat. You know, if you jumped on the back of a giant bat... Or, you know, one that was like 10 feet across or 15 foot wingspan, and you just, you know, sit down on the head of the flying bat. I mean, now it's like, you're just like flying a friggin' dragon from Lord of the Rings or something.
In some ways, I would like it, you know, because if they get it down to the point where you get your own personal traveling machine, you know, that would be great. But can you imagine the way people drive a car? You know,
this guy might not be big enough.
Right.
Yeah, maybe. But if they look cool.
Have you seen the commercial where they have the everybody standing inside the office building and the drones are hovering outside? It's some car commercial. And it's they basically, everybody panics, runs for their cars, and the drones attack.
No, it's like a version of the Birds, Hitchcock of the Birds, replaced by drones. That could happen. I mean, that's not that far-fetched. They'll turn on us. All these machines will turn on us eventually. And if they look like bats, I mean, it's going to be terrifying. I mean, it literally will be like a Lord of the Rings type of apocalyptic type thing. You know what I'm saying? And you thought How to Train Your Dragon was a family-friendly film. It's the future, my friends. Okay, I'm going to have to cut back on the drinking. Just one less. Let's see. We'll make that.
Let's get him some coffee.
On a Coke.
Get him some coffee.
All right, yeah.
Birthday, even if it's a frou-frou coffee.
Birthday celebration getting a little out of control. But, I don't know. The future could be kind of crazy in that regard. So whether it could be bats, electric flying machines or whatever, a combination of all. Hey, you guys just don't seem very impressed by that whole mindset or thing.
I would be out of a job. Why would I be impressed?
No, you
by
still
got
to train people to fly their, you know, bats.
But I don't want to do that. I want to train. I want to be there in the cockpit,
in the air.
I don't want to sit in my living room and, you know, I guess it's the ultimate working from home. I guess, but you know.
Or are you guys worried about being replaced by an app?
I don't think I honestly don't think they would be able to do that in my lifetime.
Yeah. After your lifetime, you don't care is what you're saying.
Basically, but no, because it would take a true artificial intelligence, because the purpose of the pilot in the airplane is decision making, and you have to be able to reason through problems.
And there's been many accidents where the computers have gone bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the FAA has been saying one of the biggest problems, or NTSB, has been relying too much on technology.
Right.
So going back to that old school mindset is what's going to save us, you think? You think, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got to learn the basic stick and rudder.
Yeah.
You know, that that's what's going to get you out of a bad situation. That if the, you know, we've all heard about electrons going bad, and you know, I've got a joke, but
I'll save that.
You know, wait a minute. Are you saying that Keith knows a joke that should not be said on the radio?
Yes.
Shocking.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I pull something out, but it
quit it. Don't do that. For God's sake.
What's your birthday?
Surprise! Oh, brother. Okay. Yeah, and?
You know, we've all seen computers act up, do things, you know, that they're not supposed to, lock up, you know, all kinds of things. That's all it is on the airplane right now is computers.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can go bad. Mm. And then you've got to know how to, you know, take over and fly it.
Well, I don't see this getting better, though. It's only going to get worse, don't you think?
As far as what?
Well, we're going to rely more and more on technology to cover those bases, especially when you bring into the drone element, because you know Google and Amazon, that's what they're talking about, how they're going to keep the skies safe, is like incorporating ADS-B technology to keep everything
that's
apart.
True, but I don't think the airlines are going to go, people are not going to get on a big airplane without having the pilot up there. Definitely. Not in this lifetime.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, more coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes.
Come on and fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me. I was in New York this week, by the way, and I was doing the whole touristy thing with the family, right? And we went to Rockefeller Center, and I'm walking down the main thoroughfare inside Rock Center, and I look over and I see this guy on his laptop sitting on the planter island right in the middle, mm-hmm. right in the middle of everybody. And I'm looking over at him, and then I look at my son, and we both kind of do a double take, like, hey, is that Louis C.K.? And the guy we just heard talking about, you're flying in a plane in the sky, and you should be a man, and it was. And we did a double take. He's hosting Saturday Night Live tonight.
Okay.
And he was wearing a flannel shirt and a ratty ass t-shirt. And I look at him, we kind of look at him like, what the heck? Why would he be out here in the middle? And, you know, I mean, there's people all over the place. And this is a big time comic from TV, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to go ask him. I was like, nah, it can't be him. And I'll just go up and say, hey, man, you know, you look like Louis C.K. I know you get this a million times, right? And I walk up to him, and he starts getting a little antsy, and he looks over and goes, hey, what's going on? And I was like, as soon as he said something, I'm like, oh, my God, it really is him. And it was. He goes, dude, I love your work, man. It's really funny. He says, dude, thanks. No problem. He's like, and like, get away. Don't cause a scene. And so me and
it's kind of like the same thing I do when I see him coming.
True. You know, he was looking around, darting around, you know, like, where's security? You know, but no, he was cool. That was it. So I saw Louis C.K. So there you go. We're like close personal friends now. He said hi to me once. That's how it works, right?
He'll have a restraining order on him pretty soon.
Probably.
Well, I'll add him.
Add him to the list.
Yes, exactly. There's a several. I am posted up there on the bulletin board here at the Just Plain Radio Studios. All right, so I was watching AOPA Live this week with our friends Tom Haynes and Melissa.
Mm-hmm.
They're co-hosting that cool show that you can catch online at aopalive.org or .com, I think, or .org.
Org.
And at the end of this week's edition, they show these guys in Alaska that are doing a short field landing competition.
Yeah, they have it every year in Valdez, Alaska.
So, okay, why is it? Is this like a big deal for the entire aviation industry? It sounds like it is.
Well, it's bush pilots in Alaska, which are, mm-hmm. you know, they land short and do all these funky things. But
we could do that here, couldn't we?
Yeah, 20 feet?
No.
Yeah.
But we could do short ones. It just depends on the wind, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, it depends on the wind. And it depends on a lot of variable factors, the weight of the airplane mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Technique.
Yeah. But they have to have those type of airplanes where they fly in Alaska.
Well, now, that airplane that they do that in is specially made for that competition. It's not... it is stripped down, bare bones, as light as they can make it.
Yeah.
And then they put a high lift device on it, like slats and flaps, and you know, so that they have a stall kit, so it will descend and come in at a very slow ground speed. And that's what it's all about, is getting that ground speed. Then you add a headwind to it, so your ground speed is even slower. And that's why, as you watch him come in the video, it's very slow. He's got a nose-high attitude. And he literally just puts it down on spot. He's using power to get down to that spot. And as soon as he's over that spot ready to touch down, he cuts the power and just settles down.
That is so cool. The landing is one thing, but the takeoff is what kind of threw me, because... He gets ready to take off, and it's a tail dragger.
Yeah.
And the tail goes up immediately. How did he do that? What's making that go up? The tail. Well, just the rudder? He's just doing the rudder and making the...
we have failed him.
No, wait a minute. No, I'm...
okay, let's think about tail aerodynamics. Dragger. Let's think about aerodynamics of the 172.
Well, not the rudder. It would bend the back end flap. Thing the ailerons no not the ailerons it'd be the
what makes you go up and down in a building
what in a building
yeah
the elevator ah that's what it is yes it's that thing it's so it's the thing on the tail that made the it just so on a tail dragger like that you could do that if you just you have to have it forced down if you got a lot of wind coming or your tail would go floating off
what's,
like that.
What's causing it's all done with air pressure right
Yeah.
Bernoulli's principle, differential air pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So where's the air coming from?
The air's coming from the front of the plane. Well, the prop. Okay. Yeah. Understood. Yeah. So the prop would just...
He brings the power up.
Yeah.
And so air flows over the tail. He sticks the stick forward, which then causes the nose to go down, the tail to go up.
Yeah.
So he's got it standing on the two wheels.
I understand that. I do get that. The part that looks like from this is I didn't even get the impression that it was the the prop that was generating the wind. I thought it was like the headwind he was in. Could you get, I mean, how much headwind would you need for your tail dragger to pop up like that, I guess, is where I was going with this.
That depends on the airplane.
Yeah.
And how that tail is designed.
Well, this particular airplane obviously didn't need a lot.
No.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You know, on a plane like that, would you even have to force the elevator down to keep your tail down if you were in a strong headwind on a runway getting ready to take off?
Well, in a strong wind situation, a tailwind, you're going to use what he did, the wheel takeoff, where you raise the tail first, hold the main wheels and the wings on down until you have flying speed, and then you lift it off.
Okay, because that was cool. It looked like he literally just floated off the runway, and I'm like, wow.
Well, and he also had his high lift flaps down for takeoff, which you usually don't use that much for takeoff.
Yeah.
If you try to take a 172 off with full flaps, it will seem like it jumps off the ground and goes straight up. There's some controllability issues and other things when you do that.
But in a Cub type of aircraft that he's flying, they can do that
once
kind
again,
of stuff.
It's not your normal flaps either. He's got them specially designed to do a high lift configuration.
He has super flaps. They're kind of like bats. They're the bats of the aviation world.
I think the only thing batty in here is Greg.
Yeah, maybe.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Happy birthday, Greg.
Well, thank you, and we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.